Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast. You can follow me on Twitter at underscore Sydney Myers. Martin is at Martin L. Myers. DallasHoopsCast.com for new episodes and exclusive articles. This night went pretty much the way I thought it was going to go. I'm really not surprised.
You're not surprised at all that we went into Milwaukee.
By a whole lot of things. Yeah. I think, you know, we were pretty much just lounging on the couch watching it like, yeah.
Like nothing was going on. Just another night.
This is kind of what I expected. So the Mavericks beat the Bucks.
Best win of the season.
There were some points where they got up by, what, as much as
16,
15,
I think.
16,
yeah, it was
something
the
like
most.
That.
Yeah.
Obviously, the end was super-duper stressful, and I feel like I need some Xanax now or something. But they ended up getting the win. They ended the Bucks' winning streak of 18 games. This is the longest streak ended in franchise history for the Mavericks, and it's the first time since the 2011 season that they have ended two 10-plus game winning streaks.
All it means is that the Mavericks are a good team this year. Doesn't mean it's going to go like 2010, 2011
I mean,
season.
I'm just saying, okay, so I think we've talked about this before. They're doing things that they haven't done since they won the championship.
Correct.
Now, correlation does not equal causation.
Well, no,
I don't
this
even know if
causation
that
does not.
I just wanted to sound
it sounded
smart.
Good.
I sounded smart, right?
All it means is that this is probably the best Maverick team we've had since that season.
Oh yeah, by far.
And so obviously, because you haven't won really at all for the last,
we finally
8 years,
get a good team and we're like championship.
So, well, everything goes back to the last good team we had.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, that's all that means.
No, for the Bucks, it's like, of all the game, of all the teams to end your winning streak against, the Mavs didn't even have Luka. Like, this one kind of sucks for them. But at the same time, you say all the time, it just ends. It can't last. Like, you're bound to lose at some point. And when you've won that many games, your chances of losing just get higher and higher.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the Mavericks are a better team than the Bucks. I would probably say that most people I would say most people would agree that the Bucks are probably the better team, and if they were in a playoff series with the Mavs, they would win. Now, it doesn't mean the Mavs wouldn't win a couple of games in that series. Clearly, the Mavericks can play. I mean, think about some of the games that they've won this year on the road. They went on the road in Houston and just smacked the Rockets. They went on the road to Denver, where really you had the worst game of the year
from
Luka and Porzingis. And you beat the Nuggets on their home court. You go to LA, you beat the Lakers on their home court. You go to Milwaukee, beat the Lakers on their home court.
Beat the Bucks on their home court. Yeah, so I mean, it was, like you said, they've won a lot on the road, but I think this is probably, obviously,
this
the
is
biggest
hands down their
road
best
win
of the
yeah.
season. Without Luka on the
yeah.
road
against,
the
Bucks.
Bucks
yeah. yeah, so we're going to go into our thoughts of the game. We're going to talk about this 10-game stretch that they've been on to close out the year. Obviously, talk about Luka's injury. When is he going to be back? And then just taking a look at the team. Now that we've seen them without Luka, there's been a lot of trade talks, but I mean, do they need to make a trade? So we're going to talk about that. And also Kristaps without Luka, what can we expect? So starting with just game recap, you know, we kind of talked about how huge this win is. Two things that stood out to me. First of all, their offense, the way that they played. Rick Carlisle brought it out in his post-game interview. It was just a lot of ball movement, a lot of player movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that contributed to, when we talk about who's going to step up with Luka out. Tonight it was really, I mean, like, Seth played really well. Obviously, Kristaps played well. Maxi made some huge shots. I mean, it was just a lot of, Jalen Brunson played well. I think they had an offense where everything stayed kind of balanced. And whenever they weren't playing well, kind of in the, I think it was to close out the first quarter, was when they got away from that ball movement. Mm-hmm. But once they kept moving
it.
It
was in the second quarter when they
Once they started moving it again, I mean, their offense just, they just kept it moving. And I thought that randomness really helped them to, because the Bucks have like one of the best defenses in the mm-hmm. league, if not
I
the best defense.
Yeah, they're number one in defense efficiency. So, or defensive rating. It also helps, though, when you have guys that are making shots.
True.
And the Mavs had a lot of guys step up tonight. Finney Smith hit some big threes. Seth Curry obviously was just phenomenal tonight. And he seemed to make a bucket whenever the Mavericks needed one.
Yeah.
It was great to see. Brunson, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Curry had 26 points on 9 for 15 shooting. Yeah.
And 4 for 8 from 3. And like I said, he seemed to hit a 3 or a floater every time the Mavericks needed one. And he stepped up and really made plays there. Brunson played really well. I know people are going to look at his points and be like, well, you know, only 13 points. But he had 13 points, 11 assists, only 2 turnovers. I thought he was an excellent game manager, a floor manager. He also hit big shots when he needed to hit one. He made some beautiful passes tonight to help, you know, separate or to get a good basket on that good defense that the Bucks had. So I thought Brunson was phenomenal.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Brunson because I feel like right now people are sort of torn on, is he good or is he not good? And I think really the bottom line is that he's okay. Like, he's not great, but he's not awful. And I think right now he's giving you just about everything you could ask for a guy in his position, second round pick, second year player. I'm happy with what he's giving them.
I mean, you got to ask yourself, what are the expectations? What are you expecting him to
do? And reasonably, what can you reasonably expect from him? If you're expecting
him to come in and play like Luka, or to make plays like Luka, then you're going to be severely disappointed. You're going to be disappointed if you compare anybody to Luka the way he's playing right now. And so I don't understand the hate. I know he made some mistakes at the end of the Heat game.
Yeah, and in this game too. I mean, there's a lot of times when he drives it and the defense collapses, and he just doesn't see the shooters on the three-point line. And that is an issue.
I mean, I don't know. I would say that he does. He can. He's made those plays in the past. He's just a different kind of player.
Well,
he's short. Yes, but that doesn't mean he can't see people.
Yeah.
You know, like I think he makes good plays. People want to screenshot this one play at the end of the Heat game and say, see, look, all these open shooters. But really, when you watch the play, those did not open until he literally went up for the layup.
And he got a foul.
So really, Brunson on that play against the Heat made the right play. He drove it into the teeth of the defense.
He drew a foul.
He pump faked, got the guy out of position. The guy landed on him.
On his back.
On his back. Should have been a foul call. If they call that whistle or they blow that whistle, everybody's like, great play, great play.
And the Mavs probably win.
And they win the game. Yeah, so I think Brunson is a good player. I think he's a winning player. I think he's one of those guys that steps up in big moments. I thought he did that a little bit tonight. I'm not saying he didn't make mistakes.
Yeah, and I don't, like, I'm not saying I want him to start or anything.
No.
And I guess that's maybe why I'm not as frustrated or disappointed in him as other Mavs fans, is that my expectations of him aren't very high anyways. So yeah, I see all the mistakes, but I kind of expect a little bit of that. He's not a great player. He's kind of good, and he holds down the fort.
I think Brunson has the potential to be a starting point guard on a good team. Now, that's probably not going to happen with the Mavericks because you have Luka.
Well,
he's their point guard, and you got to have that two guard to be a really athletic, bigger two guard. So Brunson's just not going to start. But I think he has the potential to be a starting point guard. I liked him immediately. I told you as soon as we drafted him, Carlisle's going to look for a reason to start this guy. He liked him from day one. He liked him more than Dennis Smith Jr.
You said that he was going to be the Mavs starting point guard by the end of the season.
And that's what happened. Now, he started. Now, Luka was technically the point guard, but he started.
Yeah.
So I think Brunson is a really good player, and he's a winning player, and I want Brunson on the team.
Yeah, I like him coming off the bench, and he usually plays, less than 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So, again, going back to my expectations, that's the kind of player he is, and in that role, I think he's
fine.
But
he can have moments where helps you win a game.
He can hit a few big shots,
So I thought he stepped up well. There's a temptation from the way the game ended against the Heat for him to just feel like he's got to insert himself. And I felt like he did a good job of playing within the flow of the game. He did not try to force anything. He just made the right play every single time. So that, to me, showed a lot of maturity from him.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, like, going back to, you were going over the roster, like, there were contributions from every guy. So,
DeLon.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson. But, yeah, DeLon Wright. Even Dorian Finney-Smith, his defense, and this was another thing I wanted to talk about, their offense and their defense. They had a lot of different, they gave Giannis a lot of different looks. They had Finney-Smith on him. They had Kristaps on him. They had Maxey on him. I think they started the game with Powell on him. And some of those worked to varying degrees or didn't work at all. But one defensive scheme that I thought was interesting was when Porzingis was on Giannis, he backed off of him like, I don't know, 2-3 feet,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because Giannis isn't a very good shooter and they dared him to take that shot.
And he did. He took it
and he missed it. Yeah. I think every time that Porzingis was guarding him and like, yeah, Giannis is a better shooter this year, but he's still not good. Now, in a couple years, if he keeps working on that, he's going to be unstoppable. But for this game, it's in your favor.
Unless he starts shooting 40% from three, the guy is so good at driving into the lane and getting a layup and one.
Well, you want that to be his primary.
Him,
yeah.
Exactly. You almost rather have him shoot the ball every time. So, yes, he did beat Porzingis a couple of times when Porzingis was guarding him. But he ended up shooting, I think it was three times, he shot a long jump shot because Porzingis was so far off.
Or a three-pointer, yeah.
And I remember in the preseason game against the Bucks, and he was killing us. That was my thought. I was like, just put Porzingis on him. Have Porzingis stand off him like 6 feet. If he drives, you got those long arms of Porzingis. But it kind of tempted him to shoot it, and he did, and he missed.
Yeah.
If he makes it, okay, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. But your only chance. I thought the Mavericks' defense really showed with the others. The other guys on the team, I thought Dorian Finney-Smith did a great job on Middleton.
Well, and just the whole, his movement and his awareness, his rebounding, he finished the game with 8 rebounds. Yeah, Finney-Smith's defense was great.
I thought, other than Kyle Korver, who for some reason averages 5 points a game and came in and dropped 17.
Yeah.
But they shut everybody else down. And they were like, you know, Giannis, and maybe what helped was because the Mavericks really had zero resistance for a lot of the game for Giannis because he was killing Dwight Powell.
Well, and there were stretches in the fourth quarter where suddenly the Mavs, there was no one at the rim. And I think it's because they had put Kristaps on Giannis, so there's no protection once he gets past Kristaps. And so that was kind of a problem. But again, it's like, well, you're taking away the three. At least if there's no resistance, there's no foul. So again, it's like this game of math. You can either give up a 3, a 2, or an and 1. The 2 is the lesser.
I think your chances are, or have him shoot a long jumper.
Or yeah, that, if you can do that. Yes, yeah.
And I think that's having Porzingis on him gives you Porzingis is the best rim protector. Like I said, yes, I think Giannis surprises people. Giannis is a lot like Luka, as in he has a, what do you call it? He has a counter to every defense that you do. So if you get to his spot before he does a Euro step.
Or the side step.
Or the side step.
Or a spin move.
Or he'll do the side step, spin move, and then reverse it.
Yeah.
You know, he is really good at countering your move. And I think if you don't play him a lot, you're going to get torched because you just don't know his counter. He's better at countering your counter. And I thought Porzingis, if he's given more time protecting the rim, he'll do a better job. Mm. But I like that matchup because I like forcing Giannis to shoot long shots. Now, that being said, he had 48 points tonight, so it's not like, you know.
They didn't shut him down
or
anything.
No. But they did a good job with everybody else.
Yeah.
And I thought Dorian Finney-Smith did a masterful job on Chris Middleton.
Yeah. Going back to their offense, I wanted to read a quote from Kristaps from earlier today, I think, when he was asked if he feels like he needs to be more aggressive now that Luka is out. He said, "No, not really. I want to do what's best for the team and how we play. We're number one in offense, so we want to keep playing the same way. I'll figure out ways how I can be effective and how I can score the ball." And then he said, "We want to keep this offensive system going. I don't want to, just because I want to get my own buckets, mess up the timing and spacing and things like that. We'll keep doing what we're doing." And so I thought that showed a lot of maturity, and you saw it tonight. I mean, he was aggressive. You know, when he got the ball, he made aggressive moves. He took those 2 long threes. I mean, that the confidence on the, that was literally from the logo.
The guts. Yeah.
So he was aggressive and showed that killer instinct, but he played within the offensive system. And I think that was the, really the whole team did that. But to see that from Kristaps, I think that helped him because his shot, it just isn't falling right now. So if he plays within the system, he's more likely to get open shots that are probably easier for him.
Yeah, I love, and I've said this before, I love his maturity.
Yeah.
I love the way he approaches it. It really causes you to wonder what in the world the Knicks were thinking. Like, and they painted him out to be the villain.
Yeah.
And it's like, but all I've seen from him is a mature, work hard kid that just wants to win.
Yeah.
And so the Knicks, you really got to wonder what in the world is going on.
I mean, it's
on.
The Knicks.
And I also like his answer because you see a lot of times a player will put pressure on himself.
Yeah.
He'll say, oh, I definitely got to step up. I got to come to play and blah, 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 all this and that. And it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary pressure. Obviously, you have to play better. Because if you're going to win without Luka, everybody's got to step up.
Yeah.
That includes the second best player. But when you go out and say it, it just adds that extra unnecessary pressure. And then you start missing some shots, and then it just kind of spirals out of control. So it just shows a lot of maturity. And besides, like, the guy asked him, is it going to go back to, like, the Knicks style? Mm. Of course not. Like, why in the world would we do anything like the Knicks did?
Well,
you know,
I mean,
even if he got 22 points, he lost all the time there. So
yeah.
he's right. No, I'm just going to do what coach says to
he
do.
He did talk about how he said, I'm going to go back to things I did my rookie year.
Yes.
Like
that,
offensive rebounds, crash the glass.
But that was
stay
before
active,
he was the number one guy with the Knicks.
True.
So,
yeah.
And you saw him kind of doing that even before this game.
Yeah.
So
So talking about their offense, just one more note on that, because I think it's important. Yesterday, Sunday, so we're watching NFL, and I think it was the Redskins game. And I don't know who the commentator was, but he made a really good point. He said, as a player, just focus on doing your job. Don't try to be the guy that makes a big play. Just do your job. If you do your job, you'll end up making a play. But if you try to get out of your space and make a play, then you're probably going to screw up. So if you just focus on doing your job, you're going to make a play. You're going to help the team. And I thought this team is a good example of having that, of a team that needs to have that focus. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith is a 3-and-D guy. Do your job and everything will be fine. Don't try to get outside of that. Kristaps Porzingis, same thing. He's a unicorn. He can hit threes. Shoot those.
Just do your job.
Yeah, don't try to do more. And times when they struggle is whenever guys stop doing their job and try to make a big play. And I thought tonight, Tim Hardaway Jr. kind of got into that mode. And he's been great for them, so I'm not upset about this at all. But he had a bad game, and I thought a lot of it was because he stopped. When he just does his job and he just scores and plays within the system, he's really good. But tonight he tried to just making bad decisions bad shots.
I felt like he was rushing and
forcing it.
Well, and I think that is a result of that pressure of playing well. He felt that he had to have a big game in order for the Mavs to win. And what's great about this game is that hopefully going forward, Hardaway doesn't have to feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, he's never been in a situation where he can play bad and they win. Like, any other time in the past, if he struggled or he had tonight 6 points, that was probably a loss. And so I think he felt that he had to deliver big. And if they didn't, they were going to lose. And really, he didn't deliver big. And they still won the game. So, but he's also the kind of guy, the game before, he had 28 points against the Heat.
And in the next game, they'll
probably
be great.
So, you know, that's what's great about this team right now is that a lot of different players, and this is kind of what we've been wanting to see, who are these other guys that they have? Are these guys that are going to step up in the playoffs or not? And you're starting to see that they really have an array of different players that on any given night can really step up and help you win a game.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot in the past, is like we felt like these guys didn't really step up in big moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it was disappointing, and I thought, or I said, I don't know, like that's going to affect them in the playoffs because you need those guys to step up. And so I thought these past, even before Luka went out, but it just in the past few weeks, I've seen that more where these guys step up. That Heat game, that was inspiring. I mean, they played inspired basketball and every guy stepped up. That was such a good sign. And the same thing tonight. They played with confidence, with belief that, you know, Carlisle was like, you know, yeah, they, you know, they made a run at us, but, you know, we just had to close it out. And, and Curry was like, yeah, we came in, we felt like we could score on them. It's like, what?
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, this is number one defense. Yeah, and you're like, we feel like we can put points on them.
I was like, okay.
And I wanted to talk more a little bit about Porzingis because I thought Porzingis was, he was great tonight. I thought he did a great job of not forcing it. He still had a couple of moments where he had a small on him in the post.
And he didn't and really.
He got ripped, basically. The ball stolen.
That's it happened twice.
It happened twice. I think that is either something that he struggled with in the past. I don't know. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't watch a lot of New York games. Or it's just a result of still timing, still trying to figure that out. But outside of that, he was great. And those two threes from like 50 feet out, that first one when he hesitated and then he shot it, in my mind, I was like, ooh, not a good shot. And it swished.
Yeah.
And then the second one from even further out.
I was like, dang. When he shot it, I was like, ooh, you better make that.
And it was cold-blooded. Yeah. And it was just a great shot. He had 12 rebounds, 4 assists.
He had a crucial block. At the end, they did not get a rebound.
You know what's funny? We and we'll talk about it when we get into the trade piece. But the Mavs are a really good rebounding team. They are. Like, they're top five in the
league. Well, that's because Luka averages like 8 rebounds. But I'm just saying,
they're like
10.
Top five. Yeah. But for some reason, late in games, this has happened a lot this year, we're not getting the rebound off a missed free throw. And that's, you know, we'll talk
that's
about that in
Luka
the trade.
Because Luka isn't down there. But
Luka is only 6'7". He's not going to get a rebound over Adebayo.
Well, and Luka is, as a guard, he's going to be at the three-point line.
Yeah.
He's not going to be down where they get the rebounds.
You don't want Luka to be your enforcer. He's not Giannis.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You know?
Okay. Anyways, yes, excellent team. I don't remember what your point was, but I'm sure
I was just
great.
Talking about Porzingis.
Yes, Porzingis is great. So... That's 3 games into this 10-game stretch. We talked a few episodes ago about starting this brutal 10-game stretch to close out the year, to close out December. They were facing the best of the East. And so they've got 3 of those games out of the way, Detroit, Miami, and Milwaukee. They're 2-1.
Which is what I thought they were going to be at. It's just
be
not
3-0.
You know, it's just the win... I thought we would beat the Heat, lose to the Bucks, and just flip that.
So, initially we said 5-5. Like, if they went 500, that would be great. And then you went and said, like, they could lose every game and I would still be fine.
Well,
so,
I didn't say that.
You pretty much said that.
Okay.
Anyways, so they're now 2-1. They face the Boston Celtics at home. And then after that, the Sixers, Raptors, Spurs, Warriors, Lakers, and Thunder. So this next game, these three games coming up, that's really the toughest stretch. I mean, honestly, the Bucks game was the hardest one.
Yes, yeah.
But these next three, home versus the Celtics and then 2 on the road. And I don't know. I mean, this game, like, this was surprising. And then, but the Heat game, it was the same way. They almost won that almost completely without Luka.
They lost it themselves against the Heat game. In the Heat game, because they made mistakes. Well, yes, we could say the refs blew a call. They blew 2 of them on the last 2-minute report.
Yeah.
And that's like 4 games this year the Mavericks have been. Whatever. Either way, they still made a lot of mistakes at the end of the game.
Like we said in the Lakers game when the refs blew it. You're never going to play every game perfectly.
No.
But with all that being said, they put themselves in a position to win.
I'm right there with you. They made the plays that they need to make.
Good. It sucks.
Yeah.
Anyways, but my point was, like, these 2 games without Luka, I thought would be a loss. I thought they're going to lose against Miami. And then this game coming in, I was thinking, like, oh, that was a really good fight against the Heat. But, you know, now reality sets in. You face a really good team. You're on the road. Like, this is probably when you get back to normal and you're without your MVP, you're probably going to lose this. But then they go in and win against the Bucks. So now I don't really know what to expect against the Celtics.
I think you should expect to win. I mean, if you think about that Denver game, for example, basically you're out without Luka in that game.
Yeah.
And you went on the road and beat the Denver Nuggets on their home court without your best player. Now you've went on the road against Milwaukee without your best player and beat the Bucks. You almost beat the Heat in the second half after being down 24 points. That means you literally destroyed them in the second half to come up. And they took a four-point lead. So they were outplaying the Heat all over the court. This team's good. This team, you know, is really, really good. And I think they play really well without Luka. Not saying that I'm not saying that they're better than some idiot out there that would say that they're better without Luka. That's a complete load of crock.
He's not really an MVP.
No, that's just stupid.
Without him. Yeah.
But they're a really good team without him. They play a different game without Luka, and they have the players to do that. So, and I think they built this team because they didn't know Luka was going to be this good, so they thought this was what they were going to be.
True.
Where everybody was kind of contributing, and then we're like, oh, wait, Luka's unstoppable, so there's no need to do all that. So I think against Boston at home, you should expect to win.
I guess so.
You know, and you know how I am. I'm not really big on Boston anyways.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, you're not.
No. Yes, I don't... Oh, you're going to have a heart attack in that or
it's
something.
It's surprising. Every time we talk about the Celtics.
I'm just not sold on it.
And you're like,
yeah,
I think the Mavs are going to, I think it's going to be a blow. I think you said yesterday it's going to be a blowout or something.
I didn't say
something.
A blowout. Well, I said you should expect a Mavs win. Yeah.
But I don't know if you understand how good the Celtics are.
No, I think they, I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying they're not. Yeah. They're a good team. I don't think they are as good as they played at the beginning of the season. I still think that they lack that dominant go-to guy. With all due respect to Kemba.
But he has been that guy for them.
Yes.
And Jason Tatum, too.
But not in the playoffs, not in games where they really need them to come up. The problem with Tatum is he's not really efficient.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
true.
Problem with Kemba is his size.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, both of those things affect you.
It gets to you eventually.
Yeah. And so I'm not huge on Boston. I think they're going to have a good record, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs because I think they lack that go-to guy. I think they also lack some size down
low.
Well,
yeah. A lot of people have talked about that.
So, you know, obviously they can make a trade here or there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Kemba's not good and Jalen's not good and Tatum
well,
is okay.
It's
you
just
know.
like Chris Paul. Really good. No one is denying that, but it's just when you get to the playoffs.
The size affects you.
Yeah, the size affects you. So it doesn't mean that he's not a great player. He's just not. There's that other level of players. He's not there.
So
it's just his size.
I'm going to pick the Mavericks against Boston.
I'm going to say Boston is going to win, but.
And then we have Philadelphia. I mean, you're going to pick Boston after tonight. We literally just went on the road to a team that has won 18 in a row.
Yeah, but you
18
can't,
in a row.
I mean, you can't win every game. And how many games do you really expect to win without Luka? I don't know. I just.
Well, after tonight, you should expect at least to beat Boston.
I was thinking, like what you said, expect to win. And like. I think that makes sense. I can expect to win. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost. But I think after this game, I should give them
a little
the
more
benefit.
Credit. Yeah,
yeah, a little more respect.
Now, the Philadelphia game's a little bit harder because
it's on the
road.
And Toronto is
and
on
Toronto's
the road.
And Toronto's on
yeah.
the road. But that one at home against the Celtics, I think that should be a Mavericks victory.
Okay.
And then Philadelphia, I'm not really afraid of Philadelphia either. I think they're also a really good team, but I don't know if they're going to do anything in the playoffs.
Okay, so speaking about playing without Luka, I do want to talk about that for just a little bit. Most people have probably heard the report and the prognosis or the diagnosis. I think it's a prognosis.
Let's spend 30 minutes on trying to figure that out.
It's a moderate sprain. They said he'll be out for 2 to 4 weeks, but... I think, well, at least I've heard that they're kind of leaning towards the lighter side of that. So maybe only 2 weeks. I've heard that he might be back after Christmas, which would be, that's not that far away. So
about, Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they can get through this stretch and then they'll get him back. But during this stretch, all I really want to see is, like we were talking about, these guys, how are they going to play? Because I think that's going to be a good indication of what we can expect in the playoffs, which is really important.
And I don't understand. Like, after this game, I am completely optimistic about this team. Because
it's only 2 games. That's why I'm still like, I want to see more.
Well, also the Denver game.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're talking about 3 games against the top, 3 of the top teams in the league. Milwaukee on the road.
Yeah.
18-game winning streak. Literally blowing teams out. Like, yeah. They're not even close. Giannis playing 32 minutes a game. Hasn't played the fourth quarter in 6 months.
So you think, this game, this was a legit win.
Yeah.
This wasn't like how you say they've won 18 games, they're bound to lose a game eventually. Well, yes,
that is true, but that doesn't mean it takes anything away what Dallas did.
Okay.
You know, they dropped 120 points on the Milwaukee's number one defense without their best player.
Yeah, that's true.
And yes, a lot of guys had to step up, but they did. They did step up on the road in a hostile environment against the best team in the league. To me, I think you saw a lot. Not only that, you saw that Porzingis, he still got it.
Yeah.
He's still making his way back, but he still got it. He's still a potential superstar in this league. I think
they're for real.
Yeah, I think they're for real.
Okay, so let's go more on that, because my next topic was, we've all been talking about trades. Yesterday, I think it was, when like 90% of the league became available for trades. So obviously, everybody's talking about potential trades. We talked about guys that you like, Andre Drummond. We talked about Kevin Love. Jay Crowder is, I think, maybe available. And then Andre Iguodala, obviously. Yeah. So we've talked about, and Mavs fans talk about trades all the time. But after this game, do the Mavs need to make a trade? Okay.
Yes. What did they not get again?
The rebound. Yeah, yeah.
And that is now 3 games where a crucial rebound off a missed free throw. The other 2 cost you the game.
Yeah.
This one, Porzingis, thankfully, was there to block the shot.
Yeah.
But they need, like what Woj reported, the Mavericks need a physical presence next to Luka, much like the Dirk and Chandler combination. Yeah. You had Tyson Chandler down there. So I do. Whether they are going to make a move, I don't think so. Because, one, they don't have any assets. People say, well, why can't we just go out and get Drummond? Well, the Pistons are going to want assets in return, and we don't have that. My personal favorite would be Steven Adams.
Yeah, and Woj mentioned a guy like Steven Adams or Andre Drummond. He didn't say that they were linked to them or that they were going
after them. He also mentioned Montrezl Harrell. Like
that. Yeah, or Harrell.
And Harrell, I think, is a free agent this year.
Yeah, I think he's restricted.
Yes, which is good, because the Clippers have so much money now with Paul George.
He's
going to
demand a lot of.
Yes,
the market will demand.
But I also like that. I like Harrell because Harrell can switch, so it helps you to you essentially are playing small and big at the same time.
Yeah,
and so I like the Harrell
kind of like Maxi.
Yes,
same.
But you do is great as the Mavericks' offense is with Dwight Powell out there on the court. You can see tonight without Luka, he's not really effective.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, one of the things...
Not hating on Dwight, sorry.
Well, I want to talk about Dwight, because when we talk about any sort of weaknesses, Dwight Powell's name usually comes up.
Yes.
And again, like, Mavs Twitter or just Mavs fans are really torn on this whole thing. And it's like, I understand that Dwight Powell is really great on offense because of... whatever it is, he's a great pick and roll guy. And whether it's chemistry, whether it's the athleticism, he's just very good at that. I understand that, and I'm not taking anything away. However, you've said this before, you cannot convince me that a guy averaging 8 points and 5 rebounds
is untouchable.
Is the best guy we can get at that position.
No. And it's, look, that position is the player is made by Carlisle's offense. We have seen other guys come in and play this exact role and do it very well. Brandon Wright, the helicopter is what...
The human highlight reel. Yeah.
That's what Derek Harper was trying to get him called. So he did the same exact
thing. No, it was a human exclamation mark.
Yeah. And he did the same thing. And you know what? Another team was like, hey, this guy's really good. So they signed him. Yes.
Didn't do jack.
Exactly. Because this offense makes that player. Now, he happens to fill that need of the roller. A good screen setter and a roller. But he's terribly deficient on rebounding
defense and rebounding. Yeah. And even that offensive role, I think there are guys that can do it better than him. I know he does it well. I'm just saying, again, you can't convince me that a guy that's averaging 8 points and 5 rebounds is the best we can get at that position.
Yeah. And you saw, like, people said, well, who are you going to get? Tyson Chandler was the prototype. He was the rim roller and he was your defensive anchor and your rebounder. So,
a guy like that. Yes,
and so Dwight Powell, as good as he is when the when he's on the court and Luka's on the court and their offensive rating
and Luka is throwing
whatever,
him
alley-oops. That is not a result of Powell. That is a result of having a good rim roller. Doesn't mean that Powell is this god out there and has the highest efficiency of all time. I think there's a lot of players you can put in that position that can do what he does rolling to the rim, but also much better. Montrezl Harrell would be one of those guys.
Yeah, and the defense and rebounding is
killing
really
us.
What bothers me. And this is another thing, like, people ask, you know, the Mavs have, like, one of the greatest offenses of all time. And they're, what's 18 and 8. Yeah, they're the third in the Western Conference. Like, you really want to try to make improvements to this team. And it's like, well, yeah, if
when
it
you
makes
see
them
a need,
better.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not saying I want to add, you know, name some random player that's available. I mean, I'm not saying I want to do a trade just for the sake of making a trade.
I'm saying
if there's a guy available that makes them better, or if you see a deficiency, then you try to fill that. And I think Powell's defense and rebounding is a problem. And again, you know, going back to the play against the Heat, which was like super duper controversial, I don't know why, because like Porzingis boxes out his side of the lane and Adebayo came around Porzingis and he went up for the ball on the left side, which is where the ball came down on, which was Powell's side. Like that was Powell's rebound to get. Now, Porzingis got beat, but he held up his end of the bargain. Like he boxed out the right side. Adebayo happened to go around him, but at that point
it shouldn't have mattered because Powell is right there.
And my thing is, when you watch it, Powell is just standing there looking at the ball. And to me, if you're a rebounder, if you're in that situation, standing and watching the ball is the cardinal sin.
Yes.
Like you do not do that. And that's what frustrated me, is that he didn't even go for it. Like maybe Adebayo would have gotten it anyway because he was aggressive. Who knew that would help you to get a rebound? But like maybe he wouldn't have gotten it anyway, but just the fact that he didn't even go for it, he just stood there and looked at it. It's things like that. His defense and rebounding, to me, I think it's a problem. And like, again, he's averaging 5 rebounds. You can't tell me that this is the best that we can get.
No. And you can throw around all these advanced net ratings when he's on the court all you want. That to me is not an indication of how good Dwight Powell is. It's an indication of how important the roller is to the offense.
And even so, like, yes, he is good in that role.
But
and he does some good things on offense. But I think you could get someone that's even better than a guy that averages 8 points. And that guy would also be a good defender and rebounder. And I know I'm asking for, that's a really good player. But again, that's my point. If that guy is available,
you
obviously
have to go after
he
him.
Makes
yes.
you better.
I want Dwight Powell on the team.
Just
I
not
like
as
Dwight
a starter.
Powell. I like when him and Maxie are on the court at the same time. And I like having his minutes with Luka at the same time. I think having a good 15 minutes of pick and roll with Luka and Powell is really good for this team. I'm not saying we need to cut him or anything like that. But if the Thunder, by some miracle, were like, hey, we like
Steven
you guys
Adams,
down there.
Yeah.
We want to give
Let's
you
throw
Steven
you
Adams.
A gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to take Steven Adams because he is, if you watch some of Steven Adams' highlights, the guy's a skywalker for a 7-foot dude. He gets up there. He can alley-oop with the best of them. He just, you know, outside of Westbrook, who, you know, debatable on how good of a point guard he really is, a lot of people don't really know. Do I think the Mavericks will make a trade? No.
And I don't even know if there's a guy available
no.
that matches what I'm talking about.
Well, there is. Drummond is there. Stephen Adams is there. Harrell is there. There's Rudy Gobert is there. It's like there's guys available, but they don't play for the Mavs.
Yeah, so it's like I know in some ways I'm being unreasonable. Like I fully acknowledge that. My point is not that the Mavs should just go out and get this guy, and if they don't, they're not trying hard enough. That's not my point. My point is that I think Dwight Powell has deficiencies, and again, like I've said, they eventually will need to upgrade from him. Yeah, and like for the time being, he's here. He does good at some things. I get it. I like him off the bench. Like I've said that before. It's like, so I'm not saying we make a trade just for the sake of making a trade, but like eventually they will have to upgrade from him.
Yes. And again, it's not a shot at him. I want to keep him on the team. I love having his minutes with Luka.
Or Brunson. Then.
Yeah, fine. Now, I think this team, without having that defensive physical presence in the middle, is still an elite team.
Obviously.
It's still one of the best.
But imagine.
Exactly. Imagine that. And then also you can see where not having that guy is going to hurt you. It's already hurt the Mavericks many times this year on such a simple play. A missed free throw, getting the rebound.
Yeah.
And that has cost the Mavericks games. Like, it has literally cost you games this year. So,
and his defense, you know,
his defense, he's not even there.
It's like he's not even there. He got, when they played the Pistons, Derrick Rose drove it on him and freaking pushed him out of the way. Like,
but having him coming off your bench would be awesome.
Going against second tier guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that's really the biggest upgrade the Mavericks need to make. But I don't know if they just don't have anything to give other than Courtney Lee, which I honestly, unless it's for a top-notch guy, you might as well just keep him because of the chemistry of the team.
Yeah.
They're not going to make a trade just to make a trade.
No, and I don't think they should. But yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I would like to have Steven Adams or...
These guys just don't grow on trees.
Yeah, yeah. And even Andre Drummond isn't perfect. Like, he has deficiencies too. I want to look more into Andre Drummond to see if that's something that I even have an opinion on. Because right now, I don't know.
I mean, he's an upgrade over Powell, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I mean, that's obvious. There's no advanced research that needs to be done on that. Now, is he an elite center? I mean, you can't have an elite position or player at each position. You can just go with the best. Now, you do need that physical presence next to Porzingis. I think he fits that. He's a great rebound. Nobody's getting the rebound on a missed free throw. It's like Derek Harper said the other night when we were playing the Pistons. When Drummond wants the rebound, he's getting the rebound.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that guy.
And again, ironically, that play. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. But that play against the Heat. You know, you could look at it from what Powell didn't do, but, you know, on the flip side, you see what I'm talking about, what Adebayo did. Mm-hmm. Like, he went after the rebound. Well, and even though he was boxed out, even though it was on the other side of the rim, he went after it.
But see, and going back to that play, if you had Drummond, that's not Porzingis in front of Adebayo. It's Andre Drummond.
And then Porzingis
is on the other side.
Yeah.
So your chances of getting that you're getting that rebound.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you clearly need that. Even though they're a really good rebounding team, when you need that critical rebound, they're not getting it. But again, I don't think they're going to make any trade.
Yeah. And also, I want to say too, I don't want to trade for a guy at the expense of the offense, because I think what Powell does in the offense is important. And I agree with you that it's more about Carlisle's system, that as long as you have a guy that can do that, he's going to be successful. But again, like, I don't want to trade for a guy that can't do that but is good defensively. I think you're just swapping roles at that point. So, like, again, I know I'm asking for a lot, but that's kind of my point is, like, yes, there is a guy where you can, or if there is a guy where you can upgrade from Powell, which there's got to be an upgrade from a guy that averages 8 points and 5 rebounds, if that guy is available, you have to go for
it. And it's sad, you know, that we have to talk about this. Like, well, the team is 18-8, but it's like everybody is.
Well, and like I
said, not just with the Mavs, every team is like, what trades can we? I bet you the Milwaukee Bucks fans are like, what trades can
we make? How can we get rid of Wesley Matthews?
Been there, done that.
Man, he helped the Mavs so much tonight. Yes. That last second foul. What did he, like, airballed a layup or something?
No, airballed a shot.
Yeah, I was like, man, Wes gonna Wes. But yeah, no, trades are fun. And like I was saying on Twitter today, like, the reason I like talking about trades is because I always want the team to improve. I'm not saying I want to do a trade just for the sake of it. Now, like, I like talking about it just for the sake of talking about it because it's fun. But as far as, like, actual serious business, only do it if it makes you better. But yeah, if it makes you better, then definitely do it. And I know that's a delicate thing of, you know, you could have a trade where you get a super good guy, or you could have a trade where you get Rajon Rondo. Like, I know it's kind of a tricky situation, but anyways, those are my thoughts on trades and Dwight Powell. Okay, so yeah, those are our thoughts on the game, on the team so far. You know, I'm constantly asking myself, is this a championship team? Because I don't want to think that. I don't want to be irrational and crazy. But at the same time, I keep seeing things like tonight where it's like, this team is like really good. And when I say like championship team, I know the odds of them winning a ring, even the odds of the Bucks winning a ring, like only one team wins it. It's remote. But my point is just, are they that kind of team where you're talking about it and you're talking about, you know, ooh, Bucks, Mavs, finals, who would win? Like, you can have those kinds of conversations. And I think they're close to,
I mean,
or maybe there where you can kind of talk about that. We're almost 30
games into the season. We're still third in the West.
Yeah. I mean, this is who they are. Some of
the best teams in the league.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see like a vastly different team going forward. Like, this is who you are. And they're, like you said, they're third in the West. So it's really exciting. Boston coming up, and we'll see how they do against them. We'll see whenever Luka comes back. Tweet us your thoughts on the team, on this win against the Bucks. Again, I'm @_SydneyMyers. Marty is @MartinellMyers. And I think that's pretty much it. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave a rating or review. We really appreciate that. Share it with your friends. Thanks guys for listening. Is there anything else you want to say other than thank you for listening?
No.
Thanks guys for listening.
Bye.
We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.